Welcome back to The New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. NewWorldNextWeek.com is the site you need for all the audio, all the video, and all the documentation that we give you here week after week. James, I was talking earlier, and I think we're pretty close to our five-year anniversary, pretty much right about now. We'll have to double-check on that. But no anniversary specials, just good open-source intelligence week after week that we try our best to give to you folks. And as promised at the end of last week's episode, yes, we will return to the Ebola story with one, James, you offered up an interesting take. Rather than just going into the play-by-play of what's happening with this crisis, let's take it from U.S. News and World Report. From the World Health Organization, Ebola vaccine trials in West Africa expected to start in January for tens of thousands. With Ebola raging in West Africa, the World Health Organization is pressing the search for a vaccine and hopes to test two experimental versions as early as January on 20,000 frontline healthcare workers and others in the hot zone, a bigger rollout than envisioned just a few months ago. An effective vaccine would not in itself be enough to stop the outbreak. For one thing, there probably won't be enough to go around, but it could give important protection to the medical workers who are central to the effort. More than 200 of them have died of the disease. The WHO, which has come under fire for bungling its initial reaction to the Ebola crisis, is helping coordinate trials of two of the most promising experimental vaccines. The real-world testing in West Africa will go forward only if the vaccines are proven safe and also trigger an adequate immune system response in volunteers during clinical trials that are either underway or planned in Europe, Africa, and the U.S., the World Health Organization said. Their preliminary safety data is expected to become available by December. Dr. Marie-Paul Keeney, an assistant director general for the UN Health Agency, acknowledged there are many ifs remaining and still a possibility that it'll all fail. But she sketched out a much broader experiment than was imagined only 6 months ago, saying WHO hopes to dispense tens of thousands of doses in the first couple of months of the new year. These are quite large trials, she said Tuesday. One of the vaccines that Keeney mentioned, Okairos AG, is being developed by the U.S. National Institutes of Health, the NIH, and GlaxoSmithKline from a modified chimpanzee cold virus and an Ebola protein. It's in clinical trials now in Britain and Mali. The second frontrunner, James, developed by the Public Health Agency of Canada and known as VSV-EBOV, has been sent to U.S. Walter Reed Army Institute of Research in Maryland for testing on healthy volunteers. It'll also be tested shortly among volunteers in Switzerland, Germany, Gabon, Kenya, and probably more. James, this I'm glad you offered this up as the one point I was going to add to this is that many are saying, again, focusing on the quote-unquote bungling and that the World Health Organization missed the disaster of our times. James, the two vaccines, so soon.
So soon. Well, I mean, that's another part of this story, which again gets into further layers of obfuscation and craziness, which is that NIH has been working on Ebola vaccine since 2001. But if you hadn't cut our funding, we could have had a working vaccine by now. So it plays, I mean, so many of these things play into the meta narrative of fund us more, give us more power, give us more control, trust our vaccines. There are so many memes embedded in this that it's disgusting. And it's disgusting to see some of the alternative outlets that seem to be promoting this and taking that, bungling of the response kind of line, rather than calling this out for what it is, which in the United States certainly is complete fear porn right now that is being pushed for the purpose of furthering these goals, one of which, obviously, the insertion of American and British troops into Africa like they've been wanting to do for years. Kony 2012 was a dud. Boko Haram was a dud. Hey, look, there's a new Ebola scare. Let's go send the troops in. Yay! So that's one aspect of this. The other aspect, of course, the big pharma crap that they're going to try to peddle on the back of this, exactly as the 2009 swine flu was used to peddle billions and billions and billions of dollars worth of vaccines for the manufacturers. Right now we see, of course, Techmira and ZMapp and all these experimental treatment companies' stocks going through the roof. And now GSK and all the usuals are coming in with their vaccines. So more money to go around for the big pharma eugenicist scum at the top. And on that note, hey, wouldn't you know it, the new Ebola czar just happens to think that, overpopulation is the most pressing problem. So a man who thinks there are too many people in Africa and everywhere else is the person who's going to be in charge of dealing with this Ebola crisis. Oh, doesn't that make you feel safe? A couple of things to note on the vaccine front side of this. Of course, Kaini in that press conference also said that, don't worry, the Ebola vaccine won't give you Ebola. Which is an interesting statement to make, and one that I had to tweet back at the WHO in order to say, yeah, just like the polio vaccine won't give you a polio, right? With a link back to a video that I did on that in the past. And then the other part of this is an interesting tweet that they said, no one can put a price yet on these vaccines. The cost is to be covered by several donor countries and Gavi. And for those who don't know, Gavi is a vaccine alliance based in Geneva, Switzerland, which, if memory serves, was behind the 1990s. I think it was a polio vaccine that ended up sterilizing a bunch of women. It was an abortifacient that they snuck into that vaccine. And also, more recently, Gavi has been held accountable for multiple vaccine deaths and injuries by the Pakistani government and actually ordered to stop their vaccinations in that country. So I had to tweet back at the WHO with a link to that story, and we'll include those links, obviously, in the show notes for this episode. So a lot of stuff going on, but the number one thing I want people who, at least people who are not in West Africa, to take out of this is, you are not going to die of Ebola. Do not give in to the Ebola fear porn. To whatever extent there really is an outbreak, and whatever extent the numbers are completely manipulated and misleading, exactly as they were in the swine flu, I'll include another link. There's a lot of links, but there's also a link to a 2009 CBS story that showed that the CDC stopped counting the number of swine flu cases during the swine flu outbreak because they kept getting false positives. Tens of thousands of people were told that they had swine flu, but did not. Ultimately, CBS News swept that under the rug. It was going to be broadcast on the evening news. They decided not to air it. It ended up as a website-only piece, but just another piece of the puzzle that shows these organizations, the CDC, the NIH, the WHO, they lie to you in order to line the pockets of their big pharma buddies and for geopolitical interests in Africa. So do not believe what you're hearing about this Ebola hoax, this lie that's being perpetrated right now.
We even covered just a couple of weeks ago, just as a sidebar mention of GlaxoSmithKline dumping James. What was it? I don't have it. Was it polio vaccine or?
I don't recall, actually, but yes, and all the other craziness, the $490 million fine in China and the investigations in the UK and everywhere else. GSK is up to their eyeballs in it, and they're the ones who are going to be handling this Ebola vaccine. Yay!
And Factor VIII and Bayer, and it's endless. So that could be an endless list of links, James, but we'll leave it there again for now, if we can. And continue the strangeness and suspicious activity with story number two. CEO of French oil giant Total, Christophe Demargerie, killed in a Moscow plane crash. So July, he said, no reason to pay for oil in dollars. Now he dies in a bizarre plane crash. The CEO of France's oil and gas giant Total, Christophe Demargerie, was among four people killed in a business jet crash in Vunukovo Airport in Moscow when the aircraft hit a snowplow on takeoff. Total's chairman and CEO was the only passenger in the Falcon 50 business jet besides three crew members who were also French citizens. During the taxiing before takeoff at around 0-100 hours Moscow time on Tuesday, the light aircraft hit a snow-clearing machine, said the head of the press service, telling the media. A Falcon airplane that was en route from Moscow to Paris collided with a snowplow while the jet was preparing to take off. The plane caught fire after the collision and all the people on board, including a passenger and three crew members, died. The aircraft did not leave the ground after hitting the vehicle, she added, refuting earlier reports that the plane did eventually take off, but then the pilot made a decision to turn back and land. The investigators have already found the aircraft's black boxes while the airport staff were writing explanatory reports, she added. There's a new site called Life News out of Russia. They reported that the plane was in the air for a short period of time, sending distress signals and reporting an engine fire and fuselage damage before it crashed on the runway, becoming engulfed in flames and killing everyone aboard. A criminal investigation has been opened into the violation of safety regulations after a light aircraft crash in the capital's airport. And this came from the Transportation official telling RIA Novosti, RIA, the Russian news service. An investigative group is working at the crash, and now they're focusing on finding a video of the incident. James DeMargerie had recently expressed his support for a wider use of other currencies in transactions outside the U.S., for oil purchases in particular, after the scandal involving France's largest bank, BNP Paribas, which was slapped with a record $9 billion fine and a one-year dollar trading ban. DeMargerie said in July, here's the quote, "Nothing prevents anyone from paying for oil in euros. The price of a barrel of oil is quoted in dollars. A refinery can take that price and, using the euro-dollar exchange rate on any given day, agree to make the payment in euros." James, I hand this back to you for perhaps another installment of suspicious plane crash.
Right. Crashes of convenience. Well, it could be. I mean, it's certainly something that we should be watching as we get more information about this. And if a video does emerge, that would be interesting to see. Couple of points that we can take from this. One is, might not be a good idea if you're in a position of power to badmouth the petrodollar, because this is what tends to happen. Or at any rate, realize what you're getting into when you do that. Actually, I did get an email from our friend, the Geneva Business Insider, David L. Smith, about this, where he noted another takeaway point of this is never go to Moscow on your private corporate jet, which, especially if you have just badmouthed the petrodollar, because that sounds like a perfect storm for this type of incident. But also, he notes the by the way, this DeMargerie was also a member of the Tattinger family. Apparently his mother was a Tattinger. Helps in the French promotion stakes. I know the Tattinger family is a rich business connected family in France. I don't know a lot of the details of that. So if there are some French listeners in the audience that can inform us, please leave some comments or send emails. We'll pass that information along about that connection. But anyway, this is extremely interesting and extremely suspicious, and I think we should watch and the development of this investigation. But if what is being reported now is accurate, it does actually sound to me like it was not a put-up of some sort, because I don't know if the Illuminati is recruiting suicide snowplow drivers, but it sounds like the snowplow driver died in this incident as well, so I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of ways this can happen, but it sounds like it may have actually been an accident, which is why we have to take a look at the investigation as it continues to develop. Again, we can't just assume. We have to actually go with whatever the facts are. So let's see if we can get some accurate and honest and open reporting about what's going on there, and see if we can find some more sources. Again, if there's anyone out there in the listening audience who has more information, please pass it along, and we'll share it in the open source investigation that I think is deserved in a case like this, because as you allude to, I do have that podcast series, Crashes of Convenience, where there have been an awful lot of plane crashes of convenience for the powers that shouldn't be, taking care of some of their main opposition in very convenient ways over the years. So we have to keep that in mind when we see an incident like this, and find out as much as we can about what actually happened.
And it's also worth noting in the article, it does also go on to mention that they had canceled and delayed other flights earlier in the day due to weather. So again, there are lots of other points to get into. And another great example to tell folks, again, to go keep searching and again, try and report it back to us as well. James, let's finally move to a little bit of good news next week, as we do like to do on some of the segment threes of New World Next Week. Citizen pulls over police officer. And this actually comes just from the trending Yahoo blog. You never know where you'll find interesting news out in the world. Citizens' arrests date back to medieval times. They're arrests made by a person who's not acting as a sworn law enforcement official. Generally, citizens are encouraged to be mindful of unlawfulness and to take action when they see it. In an attempt to bring attention to the issue of unlawful traffic stops by police impersonators, Gavin Syme of Washington State, just my neighbors to the north here, flagged down a police officer. The former Republican congressional candidate and self-proclaimed liberty speaker stopped a Washington State police officer last week because he was driving an unmarked vehicle. Syme asked the officer if it was a registered unmarked vehicle for undercover work. When the officer replied that it was a patrol car, Simon informed him of the law, saying, "You're not allowed to have patrol cars that are unmarked. Are you aware of that?" In the state of Washington, police are allowed to drive unmarked vehicles for special undercover work, but not for regular patrols. And it's worth noting this isn't a national law. Talking about Washington State. Simon then went through all the normal steps of a traffic stop, taking the officer's name, asking to see his license. Then, after a lengthy discussion about the law, Simon let him off with a warning. He urged the officer to speak with his bosses about their illegal patrol cars. As odd as this may seem, Simon explains that he has a reason for this type of activism. He says that police using unmarked vehicles for regular patrols puts citizens in danger because people can never be sure if they're being pulled over by actual cops. On his blog, he wrote, "If you think it's not a serious issue, try asking those that have been raped or lost loved ones because of unmarked cars." And I've heard stories of folks, even in my life, "Yeah, the police were pulling me over, but it was some dark, weird area that I never was going to pull over to, and I got in more trouble because I didn't pull over when they wanted me to." It's a sticky situation, but a lot of balls on this guy, James.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, hats off. Honestly, that is an awesome thing. It's not something that I would necessarily recommend for people to do, because unfortunately in this day and age, even if it is a real cop, and you never know how they're going to respond or what kind of silliness they're going to get up to, but it does take some brass things. I don't know a polite way to say that to do that. So again, hats off for that. And it is an example of the type of thing that if this was applied more generally, if more people were willing to do this, I mean, you could at least imagine a way in which the system as it exists now would not have gotten to the state where it's in, where people cower in fear of the law enforcement rather than treating them as the servants, the public servants that they are. They are there to protect and serve the public. At least that's what they say. And of course, this, I mean, what happens in Ferguson and everywhere else gives the lie to that lie. But it is good to see people trying to hold these people accountable for their actions. And the fact that this cop was breaking the law, I mean, it's pretty clear cut. It was against the law for him to be doing that. So, yeah, I, again, I'm not sure I can recommend people doing this, because you are taking your life into your hands with some of the roid rage craziness, taser wielding, death weapon wielding crazies who are unfortunately in the police force these days. But it is good to see at least some people are starting to do this more, and let's get behind them when they do, because obviously it serves as a good example for others to follow, one that I'm sure that the powers that shouldn't be don't like to see being said.
James, one other good news next week note from takebackyourpower.net. Hillary Clinton heckled by U.S. congressional candidate. Is there video to this? I haven't watched it.
I haven't seen the video. There might be. I don't know.
Okay. Well, we'll just kind of leave it at that, calling it another good news next week. And again, you can submit stories to us on Twitter using hashtag good news next week. And the other way, of course, is using hashtag new world next week. And of course, folks submit stories all the time, such as these. We'll close out this episode 209. As U.S. shells out millions to potential Nazi war criminals, an unbelievable story, James, that came out in this past week, that they knowingly, the U.S. Justice Department, with quotes around it, pretty much knowingly sent a lot of Social Security money to known Nazi war criminals. It's almost like we had some deal with them and brought them over on purpose or something. Meanwhile, city stealing from citizens by tampering with traffic lights. This comes on Twitter from Moomins. And this is a story, actually, I feel like I followed for a long time on Media Monarchy. The gaming of the traffic lights to get more money that ultimately lead to death. And a lot of times it turns out that a lot of these cameras and a lot of these stoplight systems are owned by folks like Boeing. And the last note, James, from your Twitter account at Corbett Report, U.S. humanitarian aid is going to ISIS. You mean U.S. aid is giving money to ISIS?
I'm shocked. Shocked to find gambling going on in this establishment. Exactly right. And on the note of heckling, I'll throw in another little headline that made me chuckle. Obama makes rare campaign trail appearance, people leave early. So I'm obviously no fan of the election cycle, the selection cycle, and all the silliness around that. But it does allow for some humorous and interesting moments where the politicians are at least momentarily put in their place. So that's good to see. All right, we'll leave things there. Just a jam-packed episode, and it has been about 5 years, isn't it? It's absolutely incredible that we've been doing it this long, and it's just great to be doing this week after week. So James, I applaud you and your tenacity in being here week after week with these great stories. Thank you again for your help.
My pleasure, man. Thanks so much.